Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Thursday live in Los Angeles. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Greg Tuohy, get over here. I can't hear through my headset. Sorry, we'll get through it. Joy Taylor is joining me in 1 hour from now. Charles Barkley will be joining us in the show. I got to say, before I start the show today, one of the Drew Brees and his wife Brittany just donated $5 million to the state of Louisiana. And I don't know where you live, but I'm watching New Yorkers take care of each other. I'm watching people in California take care of each other. I'm watching people in Louisiana take care of each other. And there's a lot of negativity. There are channels dedicated to pessimism right now. I am seeing more thoughtful, kind acts by America. You know, the duality of life. During dark times comes, you know, little moments and crevices of brightness and optimism. Drew Brees, just another incredible gesture. $5 million to his state. I mean, it's just incredible. I'm seeing this everywhere I go. I'm hearing it everywhere I go. Our health workers, God love all of you. And Joy Taylor's joining me today. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning. Hope everyone's doing well and staying safe.
Yeah, I want to start the show. And we are loaded today. Charles Barkley in 1 hour from now. Can't wait for that. He is fine, by the way. He had the flu. Did not have the virus, had the flu, and he's going to join us. One of the things I do in life, it's a protective mechanism, is I save a lot of money. I did it when I didn't make any. I did it when I made some decent money, and now I make pretty good money. I'm a saver. And the reason I do this is because I believe in creating a life with a margin for error. I do dumb stuff. I fell on my head. I gashed it open. I got stomach flu. I didn't eat. I fell over. I tipped over, banged my head. I do this. I've been in the hospital 3 times in the last 7 years because I do something stupid. You know, I'm a risk taker. I'm jumping off bridges. But I have a life where I have a lot of margin for error, and because it makes me less stressful, if I screw up, I've got protection. I like that life. That's the life I like to live. I don't like the stress. I don't like the God, I can't make a mistake. I put money away a rainy day in case I get sick, I get ill, I have to help somebody, I have to help my family. And I've been like that since I got out of college. The Dallas Cowboys have decided, apparently this morning, they're going to live a life with no margin for error. And I don't think this works in the NFL. A sport with regulated, decreasing violence. People get hurt. So the story today is the Cowboys have resumed negotiations with Dak Prescott. The Cowboys want a long, long deal. That's how they kind of manipulate their salary cap. They give people longer deals, and he's going to make $30, $33, $34 million a year. And I do not believe it's what you pay Russell Wilson, in my opinion. It's not what you pay Dak. So now Dallas has to live a life, and I think it's a very dangerous NFL life, no margin for error. For the next 3 to 4 years, they're going to have to go into the draft and nail second, third, fourth, fifth round picks. They're going to have to come in and be starters soon. They don't do that. By the way, their second round draft pick last year was Tristan Hill, a defensive tackle. Appears to be a little bit of a miss. That's why they went out and got a couple of defensive tackles here in free agency. Their third round pick last year, it was a guard, got hurt, didn't play. Their fourth round pick, Tony Pollard, backup running back. He's fine. He's not special. Their next pick was a cornerback out of Miami. He played in 1 game. That's with a bad secondary. Oh, by the way, Taco Charlton was their number one pick in 2017. That was a big fat miss. Dallas does not. Seattle does. Kansas City does. Pete Carroll does. Brett Veach and Andy Reid do. They go and find great players in the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth round. Dallas doesn't do that. They're pretty good with their early picks. Taco Charlton, no. Most of the time they are. But you cannot pay top dollar on the market for a quarterback, a running back, a left tackle, a right guard, a defensive end, a wide receiver, and a linebacker. Because you know what's going to happen, and it's incredibly predictable. Go ask the LA Rams. Once you have seven players top of the market, A, you get perilously thin, and B, you're generally pretty good early in a season, but guys get hurt, and you start to erode fast. All it takes is the right guard, the left tackle, the quarterback, the receiver, the running back, the defensive end, the highly paid linebacker to go down, and you've got no depth. So let me make a prediction for the Dallas Cowboys, who have now entered a phase, if they sign Dak for the next 3 to 4 years, they're going to be really good in September, October, maybe even early November. But about Thanksgiving, when guys get hurt, even your stars, the Cowboys will slowly fade. Welcome to the Rams last year. You'll need bizarrely good health. It just, that is a coin flip. Some years you get it last year. The Chiefs got it at the end of the year. They were healthy, and so were the Niners. Neither team got it early in the year. That's a coin flip. The two teams that ended up in the Super Bowl were all banged up early and just got healthy late. That is a coin flip. Year to year, you never. Seattle was incredibly healthy early and then fell apart late. You don't know what? That's just a coin flip. That's just bad breaks, good breaks. You can't depend on that. But the Cowboys now are moving into an area that I've never liked. The no margin for error life. They've got to nail drafts, and they have no history of doing that. So there's this has really been a fun 2 weeks for Joy and I, because it's been a lot of quarterbacks moving around. And it always starts conversations about how come that guy's getting a job and that guy's not getting a job. And I think we pay attention to the wrong word. We pay attention to productivity, stats, and the word I would use is different. So Nick Wright is upset that Cam can't find a market. Here he was yesterday on the show.
I really do believe that his press conference wardrobe is working against him. I think people are still holding the Super Bowl postgame press conference from 5 years ago against him. I think it's non-football stuff. The idea that the Dolphins or the Chargers didn't trade the 147th pick of the draft for him is just insane to me.
So the wrong word is being considered. Stats. That's an S word. The word we should be paying attention to, the common thread in who's getting a job and who's not, is an M word, maturity. Here's who has gotten a job. Tom Brady, people bid on him. Nick Foles. Limited. Teddy Bridgewater. Marcus Mariota. It's funny, Bridgewater always has people that want him. Case Keenum's on his fifth team in 50 years. Here's who didn't get a job. Cam and Jameis Winston. I've worked with immature coworkers. Company's fine. You can't have an immature CEO. Company fails. Sports is unfair. It asks 22, 23, and 24-year-olds to be mature and be able to handle their money and handle their fame. It's totally, totally unfair. In the business world, you know, people don't get really successful mid-40s, 50s. They're ready to handle the money and handle the pressure. Sports is unfair. Sports asks 22-year-old men, oh, you don't know what to do with your money? What, you're the most famous person in your town. You can't handle it? Well, yeah, because almost nobody can. But the guys who can handle it, Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff, Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, Sam Darnold. You notice that? Andrew Luck. They can handle it because they had bizarrely good, strangely, uniquely good maturity early. Here's who didn't. Baker, Johnny Manziel, Cam. Jameis, you guys are all caught up in the media in the S word. Stats! It's not about that. There's a reason Teddy Bridgewater, small, not overly athletic, and limited arm, has multiple offers every time he's on the market. There's a reason the Saints went out, paid him a bunch to be the backup. They already paid their starter a bunch to be the starter. Bridgewater's always got a job. There's always somebody for Nick Foles. Marcus Mariota, we thought he's a bust. Raiders will take him. It's the maturity word. We're all caught up in, why can't this guy get a job? And I'll give you an example with this, a prime example. If Baker Mayfield struggles this year in Cleveland, they will bail on him as a franchise. If Sam Darnold struggles this year in New York, they'll fire the coach. Because Adam Gase publicly has been more immature than Darnold. Maturity gives you in life one more opportunity. Another year at the company. Nobody wants to fire or move off the mature kid who's a little limited, but you know he's working his butt off. She's working her butt off. But talented and immature, the minute you fail, market dries up. Look who keeps getting work. Bridgewater, Foles, Case Keenum, they keep getting opportunity. And they're limited. They're limited players. So the bottom line, sports is unfair. It asks 22-year-olds to be uniquely mature. It's unfair, but so is life. So is the virus. So is the market. So is everything. Those who come into this sport uniquely mature. Dak Prescott, what did we say day one? God, he feels like a starting quarterback. I don't like his arm. I don't think he's that great of an athlete. Guys, just every time he steps to the podium, he says the right thing. And every time Baker did, he said the wrong thing. If you want to know why guys are not getting jobs, you're paying attention to the S word, stats. It's about the M word, maturity. It's the singular position in NFL football where you're asked to be a boss on the field, not just a talent.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
There have been some bad ideas in sports, and it's okay. I'm for taking chances. I'm for rolling the dice. David Stern once unveiled a new NBA basketball and did not tell the players it was coming. Not a great idea. The Chicago White Sox in the 70s unveiled shorts. Not a great idea. Sliding hurts. The NFL, for about a decade, we didn't know what a catch was. Not great. ESPN, my former employee, once had something called a boogermobile, where they put a man in a crane in front of fans as the third member of a broadcast team. It rains a lot during the NFL season. Sometimes snows and hails. Not great. But I have found an idea that is, frankly, significantly worse than all of those from a very smart guy. Super baseball agent Scott Boros says we could have a full baseball schedule with the postseason in December and the World Series on Christmas. Excuse me? Baseball nerds. Nobody needs 162 games, especially in a year we're battling a pandemic. We all sort of make fun of you. This is why we don't talk baseball on shows. You have double the NBA games. Boris says, oh, we mapped it all out. You know, it's workable. We've done climate studies. Southern California average temperature in December is almost 69 degrees. You can put games in Anaheim and San Diego, in Los Angeles, regardless of who gets in. And we have 8 dome teams, and that'll be great, regardless of who gets in. Oh, that'd be great. Twins, Astros, playing in Anaheim. Nobody will be there. Yeah. Not to mention, football can get away with a neutral site for a game, 3.5 hours. A 7-game baseball series in a neutral site. Have you looked at many of the baseball teams in the empty stadiums? That's when they're playing at home. Even baseball playoff games often don't sell out in all the cities. Baseball, just watch the virus. Take a deep breath. If you have to peel off 60 games, nobody's going to care. Even diehards acknowledge the season's too long. I mean, you could take out 40 games. Players would privately celebrate not having to start in, you know, March and spring training and end sometimes in November. The season's too long to begin with. Get out of your insular baseball tunnel. It's okay. If the Yankees end up in the World Series, they may, favorites. If the Dodgers do, if the controversial Astros do, And then you throw in a couple of dark horse teams this year. They say the Twins will be really good. It'll be an unbelievable postseason. When's the last postseason where the Yankees were great that wasn't unbelievable? Ask the NBA. LeBron's first title in Miami was a strike-shortened season. Nobody held that against them. Nobody even talks about it. Like all great movies, there's never been a great movie with a bad ending. Ever! If you have a great ending, it's the Dodgers, it's the Yankees, it's the new Yankee Stadium, it's Aaron Judge with a walk-off. Nobody will care if you played 94 games. What they will laugh at you is if it's December 28th and two good baseball teams are playing in front of 13,000 people in a dome 800 miles. For the record, travel in this country is going to change going forward. You may want to get out of the travel to neutral site business. Like that is going to hurt March Madness going forward a year from now. The travel business, our government is now considering buying the airlines. Travel's going to change in this country, just like it did post 9/11. It's going to change now with social distancing. This thing's not over in a week. Our economy may bounce back soon, but this is a horrible idea. Baseball, stop being rigid. I know it's your nature. Cut 40 games off. Don't play later. Make it more urgent, not expand the season to Christmas.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Okay, so a mock draft. I'm into mock drafts. Hey, I'm a nerd. I'm okay with it. I'm a nerd. I like mock drafts. Finally found one. ESPN doesn't let their mock draft people do trades. Whatevs. This is Pro Football Focus. I think they nailed it. With one exception. Here's what they laid out, and here's why it makes sense. Bengals, Joe Burrow, obvious. Chase Young, Washington, obvious. Why Ron Rivera is a defensive coach. If he gets Chase Young to the players he already has, he has in his first year as a Redskins coach a top three defensive line in the NFL. Ron Rivera likes that. Number three, Dolphins trading up to get Tua. Thank you. Miami and the Chargers are one of those teams is moving up. I think it's Miami because they have more picks and more urgency than the Chargers. Number four, Pro Football Focus has the top-rated tackle, Mekhi Becton from Louisville, going four. Here's why I think it makes sense. Who did they draft last year? Quarterback. Eagles and the Redskins have great defensive fronts. They got to get tackle solved to protect their asset. Giants O-line, a weakness. They'll go tackle because of the Eagle and Redskin defensive fronts. I agree with it. Number five pick will be the Lions, who traded back with Miami. Darius Slay left. They get a corner, Jeff Okuda, Ohio State. Plus Matt Patricia, defensive coach. I agree. Chargers six, they take Justin Herbert. Absolutely. They got the roster full except that position. Carolina goes seven, Isaiah Simmons, Clemson. Totally agree. Why? Luke Kuechly retired. They just signed Shaq Thompson. In that division, you need running backs or you need linebackers who can cover space. Shaq Thompson, Isaiah Simmons, he played close collegiately, will cover all sorts of ground in a division with very, very good quarterbacks. Then it's Arizona. Eight, Tristan Wirfs, Iowa tackle. Great pick. They already upgraded wide receiver with D-Hop, DeAndre Hopkins. What do they have to do? Protect their asset. Last year, Kyler Murray running for his life. The Cardinals' O-line actually was better than I thought last year. They still need help. Then Jacksonville gets a defensive tackle. The Browns and the Jets both take offensive tackles. I do think the Browns would take Jedrick Wills over Andrew Thomas. But this is the first mock draft I've seen that I completely agree with. Every single thing makes sense, including either the Chargers or the Dolphins trading up. My guess is Miami.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Well, about a week ago, news came down that Charles Barkley was very ill. Since that time until yesterday, I bet you I had a dozen people ask me, what have you heard about Charles Barkley? That shows you how much people like Charles Barkley. not just a great player, but willing to admit when he's wrong, funny, self-deprecating, and nobody that knows Charles Barkley would disagree with this. One of the most giving former or current professional athletes of our time. So let's start with this, Charles. First of all, physically, you just had a really lousy flu, right?
Yeah, that's all. I don't even think I had the flu. I think I just had a bug for a day. I felt great like 2 days later, but I didn't want to take any chances. And for some unknown reason, it took them 10 days to get me my results, which I'm not going to complain, man. I know they got a lot of stuff going on. I mean, this thing is really serious. So I'm not going to complain. But, yeah, it was first, without sports, it was boring being quarantined.
Yes, it is, Charles. As a talk show host, I've had easier weeks. I saw Drew Brees donated $5 million today, and everybody's just amazing. There's a lot of negativity in social media. You've said before, you just stay off Twitter. It's too negative. I'm actually watching this whole thing develop. And I may not be a huge fan of the president, but I'm blown away by the ingenuity, by, as I look at America now, we're in a crisis. My takeaway is I'm kind of blown away by how many decent people there are. What is your takeaway on what you've seen sitting home watching TV for 10 days?
Well, you know, Colin, I will never, never do social media. I think it's just people who are mean-spirited. They live with their parents. They just sit around and just wait to talk about people who are successful. So I will never do any social media. Being said, I'm not surprised how amazing the American public are. You know, I was watching you earlier. You tell how great everybody's been to you down in Manhattan Beach. When I was quarantined in Atlanta, I had neighbors bringing me food and everything. It was really awesome. I mean, they had to leave it at the door. But the problem with our society is because of the internet and the way the whole television thing works, we're all trying to get clickbait. So we don't talk about nice stuff enough. We talk about who broke the law, who did something stupid, who can get, say, I want people to click onto my story. So the media, which I'm part of, we spend so much time talking about negativity. When the really good stuff happens, we kind of just gloss over it and get back to the next thing we got to click on.
Charles Barkley joining us, the Hall of Famer. I do think it's important to have an NBA season. I love the NBA and have forever. I do think it may be an option, at least initially, to play without fans. Charles, that's not easy. How would you, if you were in the league today, what would you make of a proposal to play without fans for a while?
I think it's impossible. Just my personal opinion. I think it's impossible to play without fans. One of the reasons the game is great, you want to showcase your talent. The crowd has a huge effect upon the game. I know there was times I was tired, and the crowd's going nuts. And I'm just like, I get energy from anywhere. But also, it works the other way. There's nothing better than sticking it to a fan who's sitting right behind the bench, who's harassing you the whole game. So it works both ways for players. You could ask any player, in the NBA, we're the closest. But when somebody's giving you a hard time, and you know they're there and they're only yelling at the stars, they're not yelling at the guys on the bench, that motivates you. But also, like I say, when sometimes you are tired or first of all, think about this. You know, we talk about game sevens. When you play on a game seven at home, man, that's a huge advantage.
Yeah.
The crowd, man, can you imagine playing a game seven with nobody in the stands? I mean, yeah, the players want to win, but when you get tired and depressed or you get down a lot, who's going to give you that extra jolt of energy to bring you back? I think it would be impossible to play sporting events without fans. And I understand because these our leagues, we're greedy. We want that TV money. No disrespect to the fans. I know they think that money they pay for those seats, which is good. We appreciate them. We love the fans. But the real money in sports comes from TV networks.
Yeah.
So that's the great dilemma we got going on right now. How do we keep all the – I mean, we're talking billions of dollars, too. I mean, I'm not talking about a couple million dollars. So the biggest thing we got going on in sports now is how can we play these games and get this TV money? And, man, it's I don't know the right answer or the wrong answer. I just hope that – I just hope people out there are safe. You know, Colin, I think we spend so much time talking about when we're going to play basketball again. Man, there's a lot of people out there ain't going to recover from this situation. Their lives are never going to be the same. They're never going to get their job back. The homeless population is going to explode. I just feel great sadness. I'm not even talking about people who are dying. I mean, that's the biggest, the saddest thing for this whole thing. But there's so many people who are going to lose their job, and their lives are never going to be the same again. And I just feel sadness for that.
Yeah, 3.3 million people filed unemployment. Now, we do have a $2 trillion stimulus. Checks are going out soon. But as you know, that's complicated. I can't figure out how we're going to know who to send them to. We'll talk about that probably at a later date. Charles Barkley, the Hall of Famer, joining us. Charles, I've said before that it's one of the things the NFL does really well is they consider themselves a TV show, and they're constantly manipulating their free agency and their schedule to get better TV ratings. I've always felt the NBA season should start Christmas because I don't think you can compete against pro and college football in October, November, and early December. And therefore, the season would last longer. July is wide open. Early August is wide open. What do you make of a proposal? Adam Silver said he would consider everything, Charles, that maybe going forward, this crisis creates a new normal, which is Christmas Day or briefly before is the start, and they seize the mid to early summer months and end, let's say, August 3rd. And then, you know, then do the draft free agency and hand it over to football. What do you make of that idea?
You know, Colin, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I said that 3 years ago. We were talking about how we could improve the NBA. Being on TV at the time, we had to strike. That's the highest ratings we've ever had in NBA history.
Yeah.
We started on Christmas. I've always said, listen, college football is king of the world. Pro football is King Kong. We ain't never going to compete with them.
Yeah.
We should start the NBA season around Christmas. We only got to worry about the NFL or during the playoffs. College football is over except for a bunch of useless, other than the championship games. College football is useless bowl games.
Yeah.
We would own the world. The season would go an extra month to 6 weeks. I do think we should shorten the season to 75 or 70 games.
Yeah.
If we're going to do that. Because, you know, like I say, you don't want to just run the next season into the next season. So I think we should shorten the season to 75 or 70 games. Christmas should be the big day like we do every year. We have five games on Christmas Day. That would be a great way to start the NBA season. And you have a great idea. I've actually mentioned this to Adam Silver before. Why are we starting in the middle of college football season and pro football? I mean, it's just too much going on. We're trying to compete for dollars. And now, think about this now, Colin. It's going to be worse going forward trying to compete with those dollars of the NFL and college football.
Yeah, Charles Barkley. You know, it's interesting. I think one of the reasons I hope the NBA season continues, Charles, is because people never held it against LeBron or Dwayne Wade that their first title, LeBron's first title in Miami, was a strike-shortened year, and nobody cares. Because, like a movie, if the end of the movie is good, it's a good movie. There's never been a great movie with a bad ending. So when LeBron and D-Wade and Bosch won, nobody gave a rip that it was a strike-shortened season. We've never held it against LeBron. And I do think the Lakers are the biggest brand and LeBron's the most popular player. Because they have a chance to hoist the trophy, the ending of this season is going to be fantastic potentially. So you've really, really got to roll. You really, really have to push to get this season in. What do you think is going through LeBron's mind right now? God, Charles, he's had an MVP season. The idea we could throw it away. I'm not asking you to be LeBron, but I could see LeBron sitting there thinking, man, how many years like this do I have left?
Well, I think that, number one, we need – listen, I want to tell people this. Sports are not important in the big picture. Doctors, lawyers, engineers, teachers, firemen, policemen, those are the most important jobs in the world. And obviously we see now doctors and nurses are really, really important and significant. They're up there with teachers. But the one thing I have learned in the last 3 weeks, man, we need sports. We need sports. Is it important? It's not the most important thing, but, man, we need it. I can't believe how the world is totally different. Not just basketball, you know, NASCAR, you know, something like that, which is amazing. No golf. I mean, I'm sitting here like, man, it's a totally different world without sports. I mean, I can't imagine how hard your job is. I mean, it's you trying to entertain people for hours every day with nothing going on. And you said something earlier. One thing the NFL does, and they are the best by far, they're not letting this virus stop them. The only thing we've talked about for the last 2 weeks is NFL football.
Yep.
They are by far and away, you know, cause it, you know, about 2 weeks ago, I saw people complaining, well, they should delay free agency. They should, you know, this is not the right time. The NFL says, no, we got a captive audience. Nobody can talk about any other sports because there's nothing else happening. That's why they're the best at what they do. You know, the thing that's amazing to me about football, they have these television shows every single day that talk about football, even when there's nothing going on. They are amazing how they dominate your brain. I mean, you have to talk about football every single day, and now they got this captive audience with nothing else going on. But that's why they're the NFL. That's why they make $20 billion a year. But to get back to your original point, I hope we're able to finish this season because LeBron's been amazing this year. He's been amazing. And to have a guy playing that well, you don't want to see that. Like a lot of these college basketball players, the young lady at Oregon, ONSQ, I don't know if I pronounced her name. I want to see her in March Madness because she's amazing. The kid Obi Toppin at Dayton, I want to see him play in March Madness. You hated to see, and you hate to see their seasons and their careers cut short. And LeBron, as great as he's played this year, I want to see how this thing, you know, because it's going to come down to them and the Clippers and the West.
Yeah.
And Milwaukee. And in the East, there's a lot of pressure on Giannis and the Bucks. They have to get to the finals. You know, they had the best record last year and then got upset. Now, even they have to get to the finals to make – they were on pace to win 70 games. They have to get to the finals or people are going to crush him. Now, LeBron, he got to get past the Clippers because they are the class of the West. And to me, those are going to be the two biggest storylines if we play again. And they are two storylines worth watching, too.
You know, I have this theory that the NBA has always been run by superstars. But Chris Middleton could change the NBA. Because if Giannis, because Giannis will be great regardless of who he plays in the East. But Chris Middleton, last year against Toronto, disappeared. If Giannis gets to the finals of the East, he will. And Middleton struggles. Does Giannis believe, listen, I don't have a two. I'm not doing this for a third straight year. And he goes free agent. He goes to the Warriors. I think Chris Middleton's a very nice player. But for a second year in a row, you know, Charles, how it is. You carried the Suns. That's nothing against Dan Marley. That's nothing against other players. But you were – Michael needed Scottie. Magic needed Kareem and Worthy. If the number two doesn't step up – and I feel – because Chris is a really good guy and a really good player. But I think if Milwaukee doesn't get to the finals, Charles, I know Giannis is a good kid. I think he's moving. I think he's – I really do. Your thoughts?
Well, I think the two most important players in the playoffs who got the most pressure are going to be Chris Middleton. I agree with you. That's why I said earlier, I think the Bucks got to get to the finals or they got to worry about losing Giannis. I think that – so it's going to be on Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe. I've always said Eric Bledsoe, he's the guy. Those are two guys who got to play well to get Milwaukee to the finals.
Yep.
But also, and I've said this before, you know, everybody talk about LeBron, who's amazing. Don't get me wrong. He's amazing. But the key is going to be Anthony Davis.
Yes.
Even if you go back, see, you know, everybody made a big deal out of Milwaukee and the Clippers that weekend when the Lakers played those two teams back-to-back. And LeBron played good. But who was the lead scorer in both of those games? Anthony Davis. I've said before, LeBron's going to do his thing. The key to me is, because Anthony Davis, the Clippers don't have a matchup for him.
They don't. They don't.
But the Clippers got two matchups for LeBron. Paul George and Kawhi, he's got to guard those guys on the other end. And I'm curious to see how he's going to hold up in a two-month playoff. But they don't have anybody can guard Anthony Davis. And like I told people, everybody was going crazy when they beat Milwaukee and the Clippers that weekend. And I'm saying, I watched both games top to bottom. I said, that's what I told you. I said it on TNT 2 months ago. I said, I'm not worried about LeBron. Anthony Davis, he's going to be, if they win the championship, it's going to be because of Anthony Davis. And you're right about Chris Middleton, but I throw Eric Bledsoe in there also, because those to me are the three guys who are under the most pressure in the playoffs. Middleton and Bledsoe did not show up last year, but now Anthony Davis is going to be a different animal for him now. He's swimming in the deep water with the sharks. this ain't like he ain't going to have no excuses. You don't get an excuse when you're like, you got to play to get past Kawhi and Paul George and those guys. And Anthony Davis, to me, has got to be the key, plain and simple.
All right, 30 seconds left. NBA season, you think we have one?
Yes, I think we got to, for television revenue. I think we have. It might start late. Obviously, it's going to start late, but we're going to finish the season.
Charles, you didn't have to do this. You're a busy guy. I really appreciate this.
Hey, Colin, why in the hell am I busy?
Well, maybe this time you're not.
Hey, man, you know I love you, man. Thanks for having me.